flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Last hour of my 5-hour KM to AM. When we come back, I'll pick a Casamigos big shot of the night. But the thing is, it's not Casamigos big shot of the night anymore. But I'll keep the same music because I chose that. Kendrick Lamar, big shot. And we'll pick a big shot of the night and I'll just reword it. And we'll move on from there. Yeah, I don't know. If you want to sponsor this segment, call the fan. If you want to sponsor the segment, hit our sales team up. I mean, I could change it to big anything. Hey, y'all, that didn't come out right. We want to keep it big shot. So we like to keep it to a liquor company. But
did you ever play those like NFL Street or NBA Street where instead of EA Sport, you know how like EA Sports is in the game?
Yeah.
They did EA Sports big and like deep voice. Like
yes.
Every time I just think of that, like how you said it, like I just think of those old school games.
I do remember that. I did play some of those and they had that in the arcade. But yeah, so I'll probably pick someone from the Rangers to be the big shot of the night. And as I traditionally always do, I open up the last hour for open mic and something else that I've implemented in my shows after the Nets games, you know, these weeks now into the new year is what do we miss? So what do we miss? Here is a segment called What Do We Miss? Where I go through some things that are in my notes that I didn't talk about. Super Bowl coming up. And an announcement was made today with a little video with Kendrick Lamar announcing that he was thinking about who to have as a guest, and straight out of Maplewood, New Jersey, a Jersey girl for the ladies, SZA will be performing. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with SZA. She's got great albums. She's got hits. I think it's a great alternative to just bringing in another rapper. Some people suggested having Lil Wayne. I'm like, don't do that. Because it's in New Orleans, you know, some people are leaning on, okay, maybe he brings some more of his West Coast people out there. Nah, I wasn't really with Kendrick being the halftime performer anyway. You know, the other night I was on with Zoo laughing about how crazy it's going to be when he does They Not Like Us. They Not Like Us. They Not Like Us. Like the whole world is going to be watching him talk about Drake allegedly being a To Catch a Predator. Anyway, 888-808-1019. We were talking about the Giants and how they were ahead of schedule. And I kind of paralleled that to the Mets with their new GM in year one. And maybe they were just ahead of schedule. It's hard to duplicate that success. I do expect sustained winning and the Mets to be a perennial contender under Steve Cohen and David Stearns. But now just looking at the fabric of the team and how many pieces they lost from last year and the dynamics in the clubhouse being different and then potentially here losing Pete Alonso, it's just a lot to kind of reconfigure. It's a lot to change up and just say, go get them, guys. Go out there and compete with the almighty Dodgers and the two top teams in your division And the rest of these, like, just go out there and blaze a trail back to the NLCS. It's hard to do. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're back on the Fan.
Keith, before I get to the Giant point, I just want to say that when Pete Alonso turned down that contract that was offered to him, that was it, man. The marriage went south. But, you know, now, and also that agent switch after he lost and he thought that he could get more with this guy, it's not Borges. Working. Yeah. So, you know, you just pray and keep your fingers crossed on it. And also, on the Giants, man, like a good neighbor, you know, like a good Malik Nabers, hopefully Shadori Sanders is there and Shane and Dave will do the right thing. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to keep the line moving, bro.
Thanks for the call. Josh is the best. I was waiting for him to land a plane with the like a good neighbor, like a Malik Nabers. Hopefully Shadori is there. Yeah, those guys are buddies, right? They were throwing the ball out in the streets of New York. Shadori had the... I don't know if you guys follow Shador. Shador talked about, like, you know, I was hearing people on the Fan talking about, oh, Shador played in New York Giants cleats. He didn't play in the cleats. He never put the cleats on. He warmed up in these, like, pink and black cleats, if you watch the game, and then he played in black and white cleats. The cleats were just by his locker. And on his podcast, Too Legendary, he said, he's like, they don't even know who took the picture. Somebody was in the locker room and took that picture, sent it to, like, DraftKings or somebody to post. So, you know, that got out there, and people ran with it. Shador Sanders was not wearing Giants cleats in the game. He probably, like, come on. As much as Deion makes them all kind of buy in and be uniform, you'd think he'd be out there in red and blue cleats. He didn't even warm up in them. He just had them made. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe he gets to wear them with the Giants. Maybe he doesn't. I do remember talking about when he came here for the Heisman Trophy, he specifically went to Nike. He got some all-white uptowns. And I ain't never seen anybody do this. Put blue laces in their Air Force Ones. And then the little metal piece be red. I never saw anybody put that type of swag together. That was him giving a nod to the Giants. Like, I'm in New York. I'm going to make a pair of Air Force Ones, all white, but with blue and red for the Giants. So maybe he becomes a Giant. Maybe he doesn't. But, you know, speaking of blue and red, the Rangers are rolling. The Rangers have a 10-game point streak. And, you know, Ross was out on them a couple weeks ago, but Ross in Bergen County is back on the Fan. Ross, how are you feeling about the Rangers?
Hey, Keith, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. You know what, though? It's kind of like you say, too, sometimes, fool me, can't fool me again. I know it's going to have some BS ending to it, so it's some cautious optimism, but, you know, I wouldn't be calling them, putting in, and I got a quick open mic point I want to get to after, you know, I'll get to the Rangers quick. You know, I wouldn't be coming in with the call screen topic being some positivity with the Rangers. If, you know, you look at their last four games, kind of reminds me of the Mets against Arizona and San Diego, kind of that make or break stretch. You got something to prove. You guys attempt to do it. They played their last four games, were all against teams within 3 points of them, higher or lower, and they got 7 out of a possible 8 points. The last time they didn't get at least a point in the game was January 4th against Washington. They're playing consistent hockey. They're playing better hockey. Igor standing on his head was a big, you know, a big reason why they were losing so many games. They had to rely on Quick. He had back-to-back shutouts, and tonight he stopped like 33 or 34. So, listen, man, everything's clicking. And you look at that wild card race. It's tight as it's ever been. I think like the Buffalo and Detroit or something. Detroit even got a little high. I think it's Buffalo and the Islanders actually like the only two teams as it currently stands that like really don't have a chance at the wild card. But even then, it's still really early. The Rangers are kind of in that similar spot. And look at them now. Good couple of weeks of hockey, and look at where they're at now. But I got a quick open mic thing if I could get to it. I don't know if you remember. You know, this is a long story. If I need to fully explain it on Twitter, I'll tweet at you or something. I don't know if you remember my Don Bosco spiel from the other night. We were talking a little Michael Ray Garvin, and we brought up Harper, DeVito, all that. Long story short, I was talking, you know, like a couple shout outs, Mr. Moore, Mr. Kelly, teacher and, you know, assistant principal of my school. Somehow my call to Sal Licata, where they played it on the morning show, got brought up and they loved it. So much so we got to talking. I was talking about how I call into the station regularly and we kind of came up with a challenge kind of. So they said if I could not only mention the school, but get a host on the station to compliment the school, say something nice about the school, you know, you win like a prize for the whole school. So, if you wouldn't mind, Keith, would you mind saying something nice or like complimenting Don Bosco in a way just so I could get this challenge done I have until tonight?
I thought you went to Bergen Catholic.
Come on, dude. I got to play this clip in front of the whole school.
Yeah.
Ain't no way, man.
the Iron Men, it's an absolute factory for talent. Not just football players, but also people in sports and media and other sports. And Ross in Bergen County, he's on deck. He's the next talented guy coming out of there. Shout out to Tommy Cutlets. Shout out to Don Bosco Prep and all the people from Don Bosco that listen to the Fan. Didn't Moose go there? And Mark Malusi.
Moose went there. Well, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, I just brought up the name Mr. Kelly. He's like one of my, theology teachers. We're like really good friends. He knows a lot about the season too. And he had known about the challenge. He said, you know, call up Moose for that, being an alumni. And I got the text to Narami because they had like a whole week to do this. And I tried like get like fishing around it and trying to get. I was name dropping a couple alumni from the school, and I called you a couple nights ago, but it didn't qualify as a compliment to them. So I got to talking to one of my teachers, and I had texted Rami, you know, was Moose taking calls? And I didn't realize Moose doesn't take calls on his weekend show. I was like, oh, crap, that was like the golden ticket. Moose went to the school. So I was like, you know, I know you the most. I appreciate you. You know how much street cred I just got back at the school because I just won the whole school the full challenge. So anyway, but real quick, just I don't want to hold up too much of your time. Just talking about my Rangers point. Listen, they're looking really hot right now, and, you know, if it – hopefully we have a first or second round to inevitably lose in heartbreaking fashion, but as doom and gloom as it looked a month ago, you know, it's refreshing to see some good hockey again for once where they're not getting outclassed every other shift. So, and even, you know, guys like they brought in Kaliev on waivers, he's replaced Kako nicely, who's looked great out in Seattle. You know, God forbid we ever develop somebody, but Kaliev's been a nice replacement. So hopefully they keep the line moving, man. I appreciate the time a lot. Thanks, man.
You got it, Ross. Hey, you know, stay down until you come up. And these are the Rangers. They've been good. Like, they weren't going to go quietly into the night. They weren't going to just fold. Peter Laviolette's got to get these guys figured out. And, you know, Igor Shesterkin has been the change. And then, obviously, you know, I got to pull up some stuff tonight from this game. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But, you know, the Rangers went out west and did what they had to do. And they've got some moxie back. They've got some aura back, some mojo back. And this is New York. This is the Garden. The fans will show up there regardless. And so now you just get people back on the bandwagon and you keep pushing and anything can happen. They're rising up the standings and it's hockey. It's a long season. I remember saying when the year started, like, I mean, now new year, new Rangers. You can't quit on them in January. You can't quit on them in January. They play till June. 888-808-1019. Let me take another call or two here before we get to the next break. Leo is up in Boston, where the Bruins lost to the Devils the other night. What's up, Leo?
I'm a little skeptical about this Alonso stuff, whether it's genuine or not, because really, where does he fit in there? If they're not moving Guerrero to third, which I doubt he's going to want to do in a walk year, I mean, where is Pete playing? He's a DH? He hates DHing.
And I thought that, too.
He plays 160 games a year.
I thought that, too. I was a little skeptical about that, too. I'm like, I think it's a Boris thing.
A lot better than we thought. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
The other thing, I wanted to ask this. I haven't heard Jose Iglesias' name mentioned in the entire offseason, all winter. And candidly, you know, there was a 30-game stretch last year where other than Lindor, you know, he maybe was their best player.
Yeah, he was a hit machine.
A lot of big hits. Great defense. You know, forget the OMG stuff. It's just, what have you heard about him? Anything?
He obviously doesn't want to go anywhere else, and he's not going to be expensive, so he's going to wait it out. But again, I think the Mets are going to practice the same thing that they're practicing with Pete. They want to evaluate their young guys. They don't want to pay an aging player, even on a one-year deal.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think they get anywhere without that guy's contributions last year, honestly. He was that good for them.
I'm 100% with you. Thanks for the call, Leo. I'll add to that. I mean, The night that Nick Castellanos went on Chris Rose's podcast and called Jose Iglesias the MVP, I played it. And then I think I heard Evan and Tiki play it the next day. And, you know, Nick Castellanos isn't crazy, but what he was saying, as a team that competed against the Mets, he's like, that guy was the difference. When he came up, they took on a different identity. He played multiple positions. He came up in big spots. He brought the OMG song. It became a rally cry. It became the home run celebration. Like, that is valuable. That is MVP. Like, obviously Lindor, you know, runner-up in MVP was the MVP. But I could understand Castellanos saying, like, those guys bought in. Those guys believed. Those guys started moving different and you know, feeling different once Jose Iglesias came up. I just think he had a lot of positive energy. I remember him coming up and just running out ground ball to first. I remember him just having some slap singles and just some clutch plays and just fire and energy. And, like, what a year for him. It all came together for him. Candelita, a number one hit single. Like, for him to get to perform that on Apple TV, Friday Night Baseball, for the Mets to embrace the whole thing. And, you know, even here, like, at Odyssey, he did a couple concerts. He did Boomer and Geo. He did, like, an Odyssey Live thing. Like, I think that guy is smart. And I think that guy knows that his best shot is to try and wait it out and stick with the Mets. But the Mets also know they don't have to bring him back. Could have been a flash in the pan. They don't have to pay him a lot. It's not expensive. And that's not something at the top of, you know, the priorities. They don't have to do that today. They don't have to do that today. He can get a one-year deal. So I did see a few days ago that, you know, he was like, and there were some Yankee fans like, oh, you know what we should do? We should sign him to play third base. Take him away from the Mets. And I'm like, I don't know how many times I got to tell y'all, the Mets are the Mets and the Yankees are the Yankees. And that's no disrespect to the Mets, but there is a hard line between. The Yankees are not looking to do anything like the Mets, be like the Mets. I guess you can throw out Dom Smith, but he may never see the major league level. And you can throw out other names of other players. But from what I know, the Yankees are not motivated to, like, take Mets players or, like, sign Pete Alonso because he was with the Mets or Jose Iglesias. They do not care about that. That is not what type of time they're on. Brian Cashman, Yankees front office, no. They are Big Brother. So Big Brother is not worried about what Little Brother's doing, and they're not trying to get any, you know, gain any ground or get any get back for Juan Soto. Juan Soto was here for 1 year. That's another thing, too. When baseball starts and we go through this year and you watch this team and you have five new players, I hope that you get over Juan Soto. And, of course, we'll be here at night to go over what the Yankees do, what the Mets do, what happens in baseball, and Juan Soto's going to have his moments. But at the same time, the Yankees are going to be good. I guarantee it. And I think when you see all the additions to the team and the different style of play and how the lineup is different and how they play on a night-to-night basis, you're going to be pleased with it, and you'll slowly start to forget about the Soto shuffle. You'll slowly start to forget about his celebration with Judge. It'll be a thing of the past. 1 year in baseball is not a lot. You know, 1 year in baseball is not a lot. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call from Lawrence. No, Simon in Lawrence, New York.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
This call will be recorded.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Listen, I'm a longtime listener to WFAN, and I got to say, your show is the best.
Thank you. It's starting to be said, you know, it's my fourth year. It's starting to be said more often.
Yeah, you're
now.
Great, dude.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, just like you were saying just now, that the Yankees are Big Brother. Honestly, the Dodgers are, I feel like, are taking over the evil empire mantle. Like, what can the Yankees do that, you know, they lost last year in the World
Series?
They're
big unk. They're big uncle.
They're big unk, you know what I mean?
they're big papa.
So what can the Yankees do to beat them this year? And also to get back that, like, mystique and aura. You think the Yankees still care about that?
To get back the aura, would you say?
Yeah, the mystique.
Oh, the mystique aura,
like the big bad Yankees.
I mean, they were in the World Series last year. The Yankees were back in the World Series last year. Like I think
yeah,
that's
we
enough.
All know how that went.
It wasn't fun. It was fun until it wasn't. what I'll say is this. We got to pray, man. It's baseball. That ball can hop, skip, and jump one way. Guys can have bad days, but it seemed like the Yankees had the bad days and the Dodgers. Like, when you think about Freddie Freeman, what he was in the NLCS against the Mets, and then, like, 5 days later, he's superhuman. He was on everything.
Yeah, no
against,
doubt.
You know, and, like, Teoscar Hernandez and Kike Hernandez and Mookie Betts and Ohtani was hurt. Oh, they dragged Ohtani across the finish line. They didn't even need him. But now, you know, he's going to pitch. He's going to be healthy. He'll be back. They add a bunch of
Who knows, by the way? who knows? The labrum surgery is not a small thing. You know, talk to Miguel Andujar about
and,
that.
And that is why we watch. And that's why we lock in every single day. We can't wait for first pitch. That's why people stay up all night. They listen to my show. They listen to C-Mac's show. They go to bed. They wake up the next day. They wait for the lineup to drop. And we do this all through the spring, summer, and fall because nobody knows. And there's parity in baseball. And I have said, and I stand by it, I don't think that they're repeating. And I think that they know that it's hard to repeat. That's why they've stacked the deck. And I commend them for that. I have friends that are Dodgers fans. I'm on record saying that I've been to Dodger Stadium more times in my life than Citi Field. Think about that. I've always been around here, but I've been to Dodger Stadium more times than Citi Field because I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan. And when I go to L.A., why wouldn't you go to, you know, Chavez Ravine? The Dodgers fans, they're loving life right now. They're loving baseball right now. They cannot wait to get back in that stadium. They cannot wait to go to spring training. They love the team. My girl Serena is buying up every piece of Dodgers merchandise. She's like, it's a dream. It's an absolute dream. So if it was us, we'd feel the same way. And maybe we can feel that way. Maybe it's Yankees-Dodgers, or maybe it's not Yankees-Dodgers. Maybe it's Yankees-Diamondbacks, because the Diamondbacks found their way there 2 years ago. Maybe it's Yankees-Brewers. Who knows how it's going to end up? Maybe it's not the Yankees again. But if it's the Yankees and they win the World Series and we get a parade here, we'll forget all about 2024.
No, I agree with that. But the other point I was trying to make is, do you think that it motivates the Yankees seeing the Dodgers grab up all these guys, that they want to get that aura back? They want to be the big Unk. They want to be Big Poppy.
Nope.
They don't care.
I think they chalk it up to like, yo, we can't do what they do with the deferred money, Guggenheim, the banks that they have, the investing firms, the process that they've created, $1 billion plus in deferred money. Like, they are playing 3D chess. They are playing the game through loopholes and at a different level than the Yankees are. The Yankees aren't trying to defer money. The Yankees have talent, and they're going to pay their guys. And I don't think the Yankees look at what the Dodgers are doing and say, oh, well, you know, they're the new evil empire. How do we get back? The Yankees are not the evil empire, and they know that. They're not trying to be. Like, they're not making a move to get a third baseman right now because they got to get Marcus Stroman's money off the book. That's not evil empire-like. That's not looking at the Dodgers and being like, oh, what do we do now? They're not reacting to the Dodgers.
So why am I not hearing Luis Renjifo's name at all?
We were last year at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I remember. I called you. I remember.
I like that guy. Pause. I like his game. I mean, I don't know, man. I just think that, like I said, they rather stick with the internal options for now. If they can find a trade partner for Marcus Stroman, then maybe they explore the trade market. They're not paying Bregman. Arenado's a no-go.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. But you think Peraza has anything left? You think he's the real deal?
I don't. And I mean, I don't want to write the kid off completely. I mean, they did rely on him in the 2022 ALCS to play shortstop. I just look at him like, you know, people will call the fan and say, Keith, he deserves a shot. He needs time. I'm like, he's been given time. What do you guys want him to? They want him to play for 3 months and hit 188. Like, you don't, you can't do that, bro. Yeah, you can't do that. Maybe he'll get a shot to compete for third base in spring training because we have seen him at third base in the majors. Maybe they'll give him a crack at it with Oswaldo and DJ, but none of that excites me. None of that inspires me. None of that fires me up.
Yeah, I don't want to see David John. I don't want to see David John LeMayu anymore. Sucks. You guys got to retire.
I mean, if we turn back the clock to 2019, 2020, that guy was like my favorite player because I'm like, this guy's auto. 100%. He comes up, he's driving a run, and if he comes up, he's going to get a hit. You know? But, Father Time's undefeated. He kind of fell off a cliff. Can he turn back the clock? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, me too. Anyways, thanks for the time, Keith. You're the man.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. Ah! The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Perfect timing with the Rangers drop.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Insert Advertiser Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Insert Advertiser, and we'll get right to it. Tonight's Big Shot goes to Igor Shesterkin. He is the difference. He is the difference maker. Since he's been back, the Rangers have been different. He had a shutout streak that got snapped early in the game, but, I mean, shout out to the Rangers as well. They're scoring hella goals. They're backing him up. He's the MVP of this stretch. Despite losing his shutout streak, in this game, Shesterkin still has held it down. He had 35 saves. He's had just a continuous, you know, dominance. He's been who you need him to be since he returned. Honorable mention, a double shot for Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson being named all-star starters and being the only two guys from the same team that are starting in the all-star game. So 888-808-1019. Let's take another call. I'll hit you with another thing from What Did We Miss? I got to come up with, like, sounds or, like, you know, some type of drop or music for my new segments here. And, yeah, got to find a advertiser that wants to advertise the Big Shot of the Night. Let's go to Ellie in Muncie. Ellie, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith? Love your show. Just quick question on the Giants. You think that, let's assuming the Titans take Cam Ward, that Shador may have a big possibility going to the Giants because it's the Cleveland isn't a good like marketing place and Deion doesn't want to go there?
I think there's a real possibility that Deion forces his way out. If you look at the clip that Art Stapleton dropped, Shador's talking about winning Super Bowls. It's almost like everything that he's doing is like a nod to get to, I don't know, a place where they were winning a Super Bowl or going to a Super Bowl every decade. And shout out to my boy Ben, who puts together one sheet for me every day. And in his one sheet, you know, he put a note saying, like, about how much Joe Shane and the Giants have scouted Shador. We've seen multiple videos of them going out to Colorado, and they're high on Shador Sanders, regardless of what anybody says. But it's also been mentioned a potential trade for Derek Carr if they were to miss out on Shador Sanders. So let's stay tuned for all of that. I mean, they could also trade for Derek Carr and have him learn under, or Shador learn under Derek Carr. I think it's a real possibility that we see two legendary primetime sons, Shador Sanders, playing for Big Blue.
All right, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call and the compliment, Ellie. Brock is in Huntington. What's up, Brock? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Good.
Very good. I wanted to talk. I'm pumped up for Devin Williams. You know, obviously, you put an arm like that in the bullpen. He's a 1.83 ERA career guy. He's got 235 innings with 375 Ks, which is off the charts. And he's obviously a stud. Now, that being said, I mean, I've seen a lot about this airbender, man. And I just wanted to talk to you about this because they kind of presented him. And he even did like a special, if you kind of YouTube it, it was on MLB Network about the airbender and how he invented this pitch. It's one of a kind. No one can do it. But, I mean, I've been watching baseball a while. I played baseball. I mean, you could even remember, like, Pedro throwing those nasty changeups. They were almost like lefty sliders, just killing people with them. You have guys out there, even like King Felix used to throw a nasty changeup that would just dive bomb away from lefties, back foot righties. I mean, I understand Devin Williams is nasty, but why do they got to try to make it like this guy's inventing a pitch? And even more so, why is he going along with that, you know?
I think it's the social media age we're in. Shout out to the fans of Avatar The Last Airbender. It's very popular. Alex raises his fist up. Like, it's just cool,
it's my
man.
Favorite song. Song.
That
favorite
intro song ever. Is tough. I posted as soon as they, thanks for the call, Brock. As soon as they announced it, I took the picture and I posted it with the Avatar. My brother used to love Avatar. So, Avatar The Last Airbender is a thing. The pitch being called the Airbender. Trent Grisham, who was with the Yankees, he helped Devin Williams develop that pitch. Right during Brewers spring training back in 2019, he basically said that he noticed his grip and he noticed the spin of the pitch. And so Williams changed his grip and then the rest is history. I'm with it, man. I think this guy, his nickname is D-Train. Obviously, you could take the D-Train to get to Yankee Stadium. I think this guy needed a change of scenery. So did Nestor Cortez, right? When you think about how Devin Williams' season ended last year with Pete Alonso homering off of him. Like, and how he's folded before in the postseason for the Brewers. He needed to get up out of there. I think he's going to be great here. I think he's going to feed off the fans. I'm a little concerned about, you know, his beard game. The guy I talked about has been like 6 years since he's been clean shaven. I just know that zaps these guys' aura. It is what it is. The Yankees are never going to change it. And I don't want them to change it. I think there's something to be said as we get more and more into individualism and letting people just do and be whatever they want to be. Like, there's got to be something to be said about team and conforming to being a team player, right? Especially coming off of the whole Juan Soto thing. Like I said, Juan Soto, he didn't care about anybody on that team. He cared about himself. And you want everybody pulling on the same rope. You want everybody bought in. And just a little thing like hair policy, it seems like something that, you know, is like outdated, but it's a lot. It's like everybody knows. All these players know. Verdugo shaved like 3 months before he had to last year because I'm a Yankee now. I'm going to shave right away. Start getting used to it. So shout out to Devin Williams, D-Train, the Airbender, and, you know, this changeup that he throws. I hope to be in Yankee Stadium. You know, with the two strikes well or whatever the Star Wars Imperial sound, whatever they call it. You know, I hope to be in Yankee Stadium clapping and getting ready for the PC Richardson. All right, 888-808-1019. I cleared all my calls, but what did we miss, man? Something that came across my timeline. What's that? I think that might have been from YouTube. Something that came across my timeline. You know, I don't know if you guys heard about Joe Burrow and his house being burglarized. Was it when they played the Giants? I don't remember. But they found the people that robbed Joe Burrow's house. And I have the audio from Twitter. Police released the body cam footage. It's on ML Football. If you follow ML Football, I don't know how credible they are. They've come up so fast. This is obviously credible. But yeah, Alex, let's play. It's 2 minutes. But like, listen to this news report and the arrest of these four guys that broke into Joe Burrow's house.
Watch the newly released body camera footage showing the moment police zeroed in on the four men suspected of burglarizing NFL superstar Joe Burrow's home.
How you guys doing?
On January 10th, an Ohio State Highway patrolman had witnessed a group of men carrying what looked like suspicious luggage to a vehicle from a hotel.
Do you guys have your IDs with you?
When the officer pulled over the men, four Chilean nationals, three of them allegedly presented fake IDs. All four men are in the United States illegally, according to court records.
Where are you guys headed to today, sir?
Orlando? Wrong way. Florida's that way.
The man in the front passenger seat wearing a Cincinnati Bengals beanie, the team Burrow plays for. The officer bringing the driver to his squad car and telling the driver his car smells like marijuana.
In Ohio, you can have a little bit, but we want to make sure that you have the proper amount. Is that okay?
The driver agreeing to let the officer search the trunk, which reveals a Louis Vuitton bag and a shirt from LSU, where Burrow played in college. Police say the items may have been taken from Burrow's home. And then, hidden behind the glove compartment, tools police say are often used by South American theft groups to break glass and enter houses.
I don't know what they are.
Window punches.
Police suspect the four men of being involved in robberies of multi-million dollar homes in multiple states. Burrow's home was broken into on December 9th while he was playing on Monday Night Football. That incident, part of an apparent pattern of athletes' homes being burglarized while they're out on the job. Kansas City Chiefs superstars Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, both recent victims.
It's frustrating. It's disappointing. I can't get into too many of the details.
And in the NBA, Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis posting surveillance video from his own home invasion, showing two masked men with backpacks ransacking his house while he was playing a home game. Portis pleading for the public's help.
Any info that leads to the return of any of my belongings will be rewarded handsomely.
The four men from that body cam video were
indicted. You can cut it. you got to watch the video. It's absolutely ridiculous. You robbed Joe Burrow, and then for some reason they're referring to Joe Burrow's girlfriend, this swimsuit model, as an employee. I'm seeing that written places. But these are four Chilean nationals. They are arrested for robbing Joe Burrow, and they are just flaunting it. They're driving around smoking weed. They have the Louis Vuitton bag on them. They have LSU merch that they stole from him. And one of the guys is wearing a Bengals hat. If you see the video, I think it's a hat I've seen Joe Burrow wear before. I think it's a hat I've seen, like a team-issued NFL Bengals hat. So I saw that. I'm like, I got to put this in my notes. It's absolutely ridiculous. 888-808-1009. And then former Nick, Bobby Portis, chimes in. It sucks. I know I saw Tua. Tua was like, you know, just this year in a post game or something, he's like, just so you know, my house is guarded with armed guards. So if you're thinking about robbing me, just know you will be shot. These strings of players getting robbed when they go to work is insane. It was Monday Night Football that happened. Joe Burrow came here and had like a 40, 50 yard rushing touchdown against the Giants on Sunday Night Football, but. Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. We have illegal immigrants here robbing our beloved athletes and then flaunting it, riding around smoking weed, wearing Joe Burrow's hat. They got his Louis Vuitton bag. They've got his LSU merch in the car with them and the weapons that they broke in to the hat. The audacity. Joe is in Wesley Hills. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith?
What's up?
Nice meeting you again. I was wondering about the Knicks. If they don't manage to get anyone by the trade deadline, do you think their season is going to result how it ended last year?
You know, I started to talk about the Knicks the other night, and being a Nets fan, no one wants to hear it from me.
I'm also a Nets fan.
Let's talk about it, though.
It's rough. It's rough, yeah.
Yeah, but we know as Nets fans, we know we got to go through this. We've gone through it before.
And
we
who
knows what's going to happen in this draft with the lottery ball, how that bounces, who we get. I hope we get one of the Rutgers kids just for the local ties. And then we have so many assets to play with. What disgruntled superstar, young superstar, wants to come to Brooklyn, wants to come to New York, and it's not going to take so long to rebuild. This thing could rebuild in 2-3 years.
Yeah, I saw they want to do a sort of an OKC rebuild.
And so when I look at the Knicks, I look at their championship window as being not this year. They're not winning a championship this year. I'm sorry. But 2-3 years, maybe 2026, maybe 2027. Once we get to 2028, that window's going to be closed. And, Joe, what I was saying that, I think we made a quote card on WFAN's Instagram. I said, you're not winning with a team you did not draft. What I mean is, all the ways they've changed this Knicks team, all the ways that they've made moves to put this Knicks team together, they've been crafty moves to create a contender. But they're not going to beat the teams that have chemistry, that were drafted and developed, that have been playing together for years, that just went to the trade market or free agency to add a couple pieces to put them over the top.
Yeah, but I feel like if they don't manage to get anyone by this trade deadline, it's going to result Tom Thibodeau playing them just overusing his players.
We've seen this episode before. they're going to run their starters into the ground. Last year, there, I don't know how many Knicks fans say, you know what would have happened if we didn't get hurt? What would have happened?
But it happened.
There is no what would have happened. That's part of it. It happens every year in the NBA. KD pops his Achilles. Kawhi gets hurt. Trae Young breaks his foot. Kyrie sprains his ankle. Every year, guys get hurt at the end of the season. It's a long season. That's why they load manage. So what would have happened? Like, when I look at the Knicks as currently constructed, they play their starting five more than anybody in the league. And it's cool you have Mikal Bridges to go along with Karl Anthony Towns, but this is their first few months playing together, right? You might have been better running it back with the team that you had a year ago in January. The Knicks were guaranteed to win the finals, right? Because they put OG with Randall and DiVincenzo and that team and Ihart, and it was like, wow, this team can beat anybody. They're going to win the NBA Finals. And then what happened?
Yeah. It's good seeing you, Keith. Let's go Nets.
Let's go Nets. Thanks for the call, Joe. I mean, I'm just keeping it funky with y'all. I'm going to keep it a bean always. You're not beating these teams that have a bench as well. We've seen it already. Campaign, Precious Achiuwa, Miles McBride, like that, they're not, come on. Like, let's keep it real. Are they going to trade Mitchell Robinson? Okay, trade Mitchell Robinson. He's never healthy. You kind of need him. You need that defense. Are they going to play defense? We know they can score. They have multiple guys that can score. Too many guys. Actually, for one basketball, it's not going to be a recipe for success. I think the Knicks are another second-round exit this year. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with that is they have championship expectations. They made moves to get Mikal Bridges. They made moves to get Karl Anthony Towns to put them over the top. They're not going to, in my opinion, they're not going to. I had this take. I had this take at Fanatics Fest. It low-key went viral. And that was before Karl Anthony Towns. I said they're not winning anything with Jalen Brunson. What little guys win? What little point guards win? What little point guards hoist that trophy? And don't tell me Kyrie. He had LeBron with him. And that team, Kyrie is not a small point guard. I loved AI. He didn't get it done. And they have ways of stopping Brunson. You saw it. They put a longer, taller guard on him. They can neutralize him. Is it all going to be on Cat? Cat's already hurt. Got the thumb injury. It's a long season. And your coach is going to rely on his starting five. OG has not played this much in a few years, maybe ever, when we get to April. Josh Hart should be a bench player. He should be coming off the bench and giving you those tough minutes, but they need him to play. Mikal Bridges, you can't rely on him. He's an iron man. You can rely on him to play every game, but you can't rely on him to drop 25, 30 every game. He could have a goose egg. You know what I'm saying? So when we get there, I'm going to be on, and I will root for the success of the city. I understand the Knicks have been here for 100 years. The Nets have moved around everywhere from Teaneck to Long Island to Brooklyn to Newark to East Rutherford, Brendan Byrne Arena, Continental. I know the history. So the Nets never really could build that fan base that the Knicks have. So they'll always be little brother. But the Nets have consistently gone to the playoffs. They did get to the finals some years ago. But I look at this Knicks team as currently constructed as not a team that's going to be able to actually get to the top with the Cavs, with the Celtics, and then even the teams coming out of the West. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll be dead wrong. I'll be sitting right here, you know, in the spring, go New York, go New York, go. Let's see it. But ultimately, it's been, you know, second round exits, and we crown them. We act like they're champs and they're kings, and people line up outside the Garden and chant Nixon 8. This is New York. Where they do that at? Knicks and 8. What you mean? It's a 7-game series. Knicks and 8. So if it can't be Knicks and 8. Cause what if it was 4-4, they split the series. Ah man. C-Max coming up next. Mike and Rockland, I couldn't get to you. I knew I only had like a minute or two left. I didn't want to put you on and then rush you off. So I'll be on tomorrow. We're gonna do this again. Another 5-hour KM to AM, we'll do the same thing. Maybe I'll book a guest or two. I'll bring some topics through. Maybe Pete Alonso will be a Blue Jay. Maybe we'll get some more development. Who knows, man? It'll be fun. Hopefully you have fun. I did. Thanks for listening to my show. Chris McMonagle is coming up next on The Fan in New York. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.